Hey everybody, how you doing? How you doing? How you doing? Welcome to Fatso Radio. This episode of Fatso Radio and every episode of Fatso Radio is brought to you by Volpe Martial Arts. Volpe Martial Arts is KW's hottest, newest Kung Fu and Hapkido martial arts school, folks. My brother Sifu Adam Volpe brings you his lifelong passion, lifelong skill, lifelong commitment to the sport, to the martial art, 6 days a week, 5 days a week. Check it out, volpemartialarts.com. Hapkido, a Korean fusion, a Korean martial art mixed with Kung Fu, a Chinese fusion, Chinese martial art fused together. That's Volpe Martial Arts, folks. Self-defense, forms, weapons, fitness, discipline, you name it. Check it out, volpemartialarts.com. This episode, folks, the house stuff is over. House stuff is over. We still got to pack. Still got to get ready for in a couple months or so, but all that stuff is over. Now it's back to getting on track. Getting on track. Getting on track of back with diet. Getting on track back with your exercise. My exercise, me personally. Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not giving you medical advice, but do your best. I love you all. That's it. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the combo. We talk about freedom. I love you all. Peace. That's a radio.
Fatso, the really good podcast show.
Fatso,
a very first podcast show.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, welcome to Fatso Radio. How you doing? This episode of Fatso Radio and every episode of Fatso Radio is brought to you by Volpe Martial Arts. Volpe Martial Arts is KW's hottest, newest Kung Fu and Hapkido school, folks. My brother, Sifu Adam Volpe, brings you his lifelong passion, lifelong dream, lifelong passion, love, commitment to your door, to his door, their door, 5 days a week. Check it out, volpemartialarts.com, folks. Today, episode number 157, the stuff of the house is done. Now we got to pack. Great. The house is sold. Great. Now we got to pack and we got to move in another month and a bit. So back to regular life, folks. The convoy is going on. A lot of things are going on. I support the convoy. I support ending the mandates at whatever. I do support the most democratic way possible. So I hope this wakes people up to realize that it is not just a tiny majority that wants to end the mandates. I think most of the country wants to end the mandates and we need to figure out the best way to do it. So I think one of the best ways to do it, if you don't want to say, whether you support the convoy or not, if you do support the end of the mandates, I think if you do support the mandates, support the end of the mandates, but you want to do it in a democratic way, talk to your MP, talk to your member of parliament and call them. If they're liberal, call them. If they're conservative, they already know you want to end it. But if you're a liberal supporter and you want to end the mandates, you want to do it in a regular democratic way, but you don't want to support the convoy, then call your MP. I do think you should support the convoy anyway, but if you want to do it without that, that's probably a good way you can do it. And you can feel like you're doing it in the most democratic way. And I support both ways. Definitely call your MP, call your mayor, call your premier, call the prime minister, email them, tell them how you feel, tell them what you're doing. It's a big deal. We got to figure this out some way or another. I'm not sure how it's going to end. I hope the military doesn't come in. I hope it's not a big kerfuffle. Thankfully, I've heard that everything has been peaceful so far. There's been a couple of things that have been shown in the news, in the mainstream media, that makes it look terrible. Thankfully, there's been a couple of things shown that kind of shows the real light or sheds a bigger light on a broader light on what's going on, maybe the bigger picture. So hopefully it's staying peaceful. Hopefully people do make their point across. Hopefully people are making their point across. So that's what's going on in the world. What's going on with me? Back to try and get on track again. And this week has been a pretty good week for me to get back on track, back on the diet, back on the nutrition kick, back on what I'm doing, what feels best with me. And the best thing, when I see the best success, when I see the best, quickest success for me personally, is when I just start getting rid of that crap. And for me, the crap is pastries. For me, the crap is bread, donuts, pizza, you know, stuff like that. Pastas, any kind of wheat products, any kind of stuff with gluten specifically bothers me a lot. So back on track means get back on track, eliminating as much of that stuff as I can. It's hard, folks. It's not just the holiday season. It's life. It's stress. It's any excuse, anything that happens in life. It's easy for us to kind of get kicked off our path and get kicked off our course It's key and it's important to know that we can get back on again. And I feel better this week. I'm not 100% back on this week, but even just a couple of days in a row, when you can string 2 or 3 days in a row where you're eating nothing but clean-ish stuff, or, you know, as long as you have the big culprits removed, that really helps for me. It makes me feel a lot better and helps me to exercise more. It helps me to, it kind of motivates me to do better or to do more in every aspect as well, even be more creative, even more, just look for more work or whatever the case may be, do more around the house. If I'm in better moods and I'm in better spirits, everything is just better. And it starts for me for food. It really does start with me, starts with food for me. But again, it's hard because it is a struggle. You know, at the same time as I can say, as long as I eat the right food, I'm on the right path. I'm human, and sometimes I don't, and sometimes I forget, you know, I don't use the best judgment of mine, or don't use my best judgment, but it's life. The key is, again, to go back on track and to get back on track and to string those days together, not just one day, try in 2 days, try string 3 days together. But if the fourth day you mess up, or for the fourth day you go off course, I don't want to say mess up, because I'm not saying that I'm going to give anybody shit, or you should look at it like you're bad if you do it wrong. But if you fall off course, if you fall off plan, get back on plan. That's just quick as the best advice I can give is the quicker you can get back on, the better it is. It may take you 2 days to get back on plan again. It may take you 3 days to get back on plan again. Like I said before, when we were talking about the keto diet or the carnivore diet, the first time I found the keto diet, actually the first time I was successful at seeing some progress was about 6 months after I was first introduced to it because I would try for a month and then stop, try for a month and then stop, try for a month and reward myself and then stop. And then finally, after about 6 months, like, I need to string together a solid month, solid 2 months, solid 3 months is what I really did. And when I really saw progress is when I really strung those 2 and 3 months together. 90 days is that golden number for me. And that's kind of what I want to do right now is that February has been on a pretty good start for me, better than January. That's of course true. But if I can string together February, March, April, the way I did in the past, I want to see that progress again. But even if I don't get the progress that I've seen in the past, it'll at least jumpstart me to a better position, to get me to where I can then maybe push myself a little bit more. Because the thing about our bodies is that we get used to things very quickly, right? We adapt physically, which is good. It lets us prepare for a new situation, you know, once we've adapted to the current situation. But it's also bad because if we're lazy, we adapt to being lazy. Your body just adapts. Your body just conserves energy and doesn't want to do anything. But once you start exercising, your body will adapt again. So that's the key. Get moving again, get eating better. Your morning routine, your afternoon routine, whatever it is. A quick one again, folks, tonight, but I just want to kind of give a shout out and to say what I'm doing, I guess, to get back on track. And very, very simple things like walking when I can. I haven't been able to walk as much as I used to, but I'm going to start walking again. I have a little bit more free time now, but diet, right? For me to get back on swing of things or to get back in the swing of things or to get back on track is almost for me the same method or the same recipe as if I had a cheat day. Fast if I can for most of the day. And that my first day back on track or whenever I can fast for a whole day and then eat supper only, I feel like that day is a win for me because I haven't snacked all day and it's hard, you know, it's hard, but it's also, it's a win. For me, I'm very successful if I can go all day without eating, right? But if I do that for a while, do it for a week or two, get back on track, do it for a month or so, then it's not even hard anymore. It's still successful or still as important not to snack, I think, because you don't want to mess with your blood sugar, but it gets easier as time goes on. So enough about that. I really am happy, but I'm still struggling. You know, the winter is part of it, you know, the mental, the being at home, being surrounded with all this COVID bullshit, with, you know, just trying to figure out what's going on, you know, the weather, shoveling, you know, shoveling has been great, actually, on one, in a kind of like a ironic sense, but in, you know, I guess, whatever, in a great twist, the silver lining, whatever you want to call it, you know, exercise is that, shoveling has given me a lot of exercise. It's not a lot of time, maybe 10, 15 minutes a day, or, you know, every time I go out there, maybe it's only 10 or 15 minutes, sometimes a half an hour each time. And the other day I went out twice or three times because we had a lot of snow, but it's been a great way to keep me active. You know, it's for some people, not only some people, for me it's as well, it's hard. You know, shoveling snow is really hard. Up here in Canada, we get snow and it's pretty heavy. Down in Southern Ontario here, we get snow and it's pretty heavy. It's pretty, you know, it's pretty wet at times. So wherever it's heavy snow or light snow or wherever you are, shoveling is hard work. And oftentimes there are heart attacks throughout the winter due to shoveling, you know, accidents or incidents or whatever. So shoveling is no walk in the park. Shoveling snow, that is, or shoveling anything, shoveling shit, shoveling sand, shoveling whatever you got to shovel. It's heavy. It's backbreaking. It's, you know, it's hard on your arms, hard on your legs. It's hard on your cardiovascular system. But on the flip side of that, it's a good workout. So if you can pace yourself, if you can use that in a way that will, you know, use a chore like training, that's the best advice I've ever heard in my life. I don't even know where I heard it, but years and years ago, it's like, I heard that, you know, walking upstairs, you're going to be walking upstairs. If you're home all day, you're going to be walking upstairs while you're doing your chores. Use that as an exercise. Walk upstairs, do that. Or you're going to be, you know, lifting some buckets of something to do something. Use that as a chore, use it as an exercise. And you can do that in many different ways. I don't really know what I'm getting into right now, but what I'm basically mean is do that a little bit of movement that gets you going again, that movement, that exercise, or those exercises that are sustainable that you can do for months and months on end that you can do for the rest of your life. Because something like walking, this is why I always go back to walking, but something like walking is amazing because you can do it forever. And I actually encourage you to do it forever because it's healthy. It gets you outside. It gets you exposed to vitamin D. My goodness, how important vitamin D is. We're not really talking about that much these days. And I think, in fact, we should be talking about it more. You know, many experts have cited the notion or the concern that we're not talking about vitamin D. We're not talking about these comorbidities. And low vitamin D is a very chronic issue that the Americans have, average Americans, average Canadians have. So vitamin D is important. Get out there, get sun exposure, take your hat off, you know, roll up your sleeves, let the sun touch your body, your skin for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Cover up again, but let them have that over and over again, because you want that 10-minute exposure, that 15-minute exposure to the sun to help you build vitamin D. Your body produces vitamin D. It gets the sun rays from the sun using cholesterol from your skin. That's a very important part as well. If you don't have a high level of cholesterol, high enough level of cholesterol in your blood, in your body can't produce that vitamin D that's so important. And to fully utilize the benefit of the sun makes everything on earth grow. Of course, it's going to benefit us as well, right? So get that sun exposure, drink water, have salt, eat fatty meat, go for a walk. I don't know what else to tell you. It's the dead of winter here in Canada, here in Southern Ontario. Yes, I'm moving up to Northern Ontario and closer to the end of spring. But it's still cold. It's cold up there. It's minus 15 degrees Celsius today, minus something, 10 degrees around this week or so. It's cold. So bundle up, stay warm, stay hydrated, enjoy your walks, enjoy your family, enjoy your friends, folks. All the truckers, thank you. Not only all the truckers, all the people who supported the truckers, also all the people that have donated, but all the people that are supported online, all the people that aren't supporting the truckers, but that still want to end the mandates, but you don't want to support the truckers because you think the truckers are just causing issues and they're clogging things up. I support you as well because I understand your perspective. I understand there's truth. There's truth in the idea that they're clogging up the system and that's disruptive. Yes, it's truth. There's truth to it. And it's true that clogging up the system, clogging up the traffic is disruptive to the system. But sometimes you need to be disruptive. I'm not saying we should be violent. I'm not saying we should be profanic, or I'm not saying we should be belligerent. I'm not saying we should be rude, but we should be polite. We should exercise our rights and we should voice our opinion. We should speak when we need to speak. And now is the time when we need to speak. This is one of those occasions. I don't know what's going to happen with these... with the mandates. I don't know what's going to happen in response to the convoy, in response to more protests that are supposed to be coming or apparently coming this weekend and other weeks are coming up. Cities all over the country, all over the world, people are bounding together and they're trying to do this. You know, they're trying to unite. And I understand why they're trying to unite. This is enough. Enough is enough. For 2 years, people have been saying we shouldn't be doing this. And the same people have been screaming for 2 years, right? Not only those people, a lot more people now are screaming, right? If it was just a fringe minority 2 years ago, maybe there's truth to that because I was a fringe minority. 2 years ago, if I thought I wasn't going to get the shot, a lot of people thought, why in the world would you not get the shot? Okay. After that, it was, well, if you don't want to get the shot, that's fine. Then the next question was, well, why are you against the mandates? I'm like, well, wait a second. At first, you were asking me if I was going to get the shot. Now you're saying it's mandated. So why did you not mandate it in the first place? Well, because you just can't do that. Okay, but now they can. And there's no justification on why they can do that. And there's no justification on why they did do that. Or first of all, how they can do that, and no justification on why they did do that. Because even with a Medical Emergencies Act, or even with a War Measures Act for that reason, you can't circumvent, you can't surpass certain rights or freedoms that are, you know, unalienable to us, or that certain rights or freedoms that you can't take away. If something is considered a right or a fundamental freedom, and that cannot be taken away, and it cannot be taken away. You know, you can have measures in place that can maybe limit those, but you can't take those away. And that's what people are fighting for. They're saying, well, yeah, you know, it's no big deal, just take the shot. Well, it's not that it's no big deal, just take the shot. And it's also not, the issue is not surrounded that, hey, it's just truckers that don't want to take the shot. It's not at all. Most truckers have taken the shot. Truckers are being the voice now for people to say, regardless of if you've taken the shot or not, let's end the mandates. Let's end the mask mandates. Let's end the vaccine passport mandates. Let's end any mandate that tells anybody what to do. Every option has been available. Every avenue has been available now for months, for over a year. The shot, any shot you want, is now available. There's been proof now that these clinics that they're setting up for children to get shots are empty. It's a ghost town. They open up a clinic to have kids 5 to 12 get a shot because they're pushing to younger and younger, which aren't needed. It's clearly shown in studies that it's not needed. History will show you that it's not needed. But they say it's needed, and they open up these clinics, and there's nobody in these clinics. One or two people show up. Why? The people who wanted to get it, they got it right away. People who don't want to get it, they're not going to get it. I think it's come to a time right now, or come to a point where whether any age group, I really hope they don't suggest this for infants below 5 and under. I really hope they don't, because that's truly the pinnacle of experiments on the most vulnerable. This youngest of our children, I don't think we should be experimenting with, but I'm not a parent of a 4 or 5 year old or younger, I'm a parent of a 5 year old and over, and I don't want to do it, but that's my own opinion as well. That's something me and my wife have to fight over. The truth is, you're never going to know what to do for your kids. The government's surely not going to know what to do, but you're going to know better. Trust yourself. If you're a parent, I'm sure you don't need me to tell you to trust yourself if you're a parent, but if you are a parent that's afraid, you're not alone. If you are a parent that doesn't know what to do, you're not alone. But talk to your parents, talk to your grandparents, talk to your aunts and your uncles, because I'm not even sorry to say this, but the fact of the matter is that they all care about you. Even I care about you more than your government cares about you. The government is not in a position to care about you when they will change seats every 4 years. If someone is in a position where they are not obligated to care for you in 4 years from now, how much do they really care for you, right? When it's their job? It's a different story. It's a different story. So I hope people rely or are more open to their friends and their family's perspective a little more in the future. Maybe this is one of those episodes where I plead with you to say, talk to your friend, talk to your family member that is against it. Figure out why they're against it. If they're against it just because of the fundamental freedom reason why, figure out why. And what I hear back a lot of times is, well, why is your freedom more important than my protection? And it's hard to unpack that one, because it's hard to unpack that because it starts with the supposition, or starts with the automatic acceptance that if I don't get the vaccine, I'm putting you in danger, you person B. And that's not 100% true. If that was the case, if just being unvaccinated means I would get COVID, then that would be true. That would be true. If anybody who doesn't get the vaccine gets COVID and then transmits it to everybody who is vaccinated, then I could say people who are not vaccinated are selfish. You would be able to probably say that with pretty good accuracy, because it makes sense logically. But my vaccination doesn't affect your vaccination status, right? Okay, we established that. No, you still get vaccinated whether I do or not. Okay. So then whether I do or not doesn't affect you. And in that case, it's not to protect me. It's just to protect yourself. Which someone could say it's selfish, but I don't care if it's selfish or not. You should be selfish in your own medical concern at times. You should also take care of other people. So I understand the idea of it, but because that's not the case, and because they lied to us with it, the truth needs to be pounded out. And this same truth has been pounded out for months and months and months, and people have been talking about this. The same argument, how we weren't protecting us to begin with, right? Or sorry, you know, an unvaccinated person wasn't dangerous to a vaccinated person, and even in day one, and we're certainly not a danger to the vaccinated person today. So how do we make sense of that? How do we make, how do we connect that? How do what politician is going to make sense of that and say, yeah, you're right? No, not me. I don't care about me, but what politician is going to say, yeah, we were wrong. This is the case. What medical politician or medical professional is going to say, yeah, you know what? Well, we've learned this now. They won't say that they've made a mistake. What they'll say is now, because of this new information, we're going to change this direction. And that's important and that's fine. But when that happens, it needs to move swiftly, you know, and it needs to move. And we just can't drag our heels, so that we need to move. So I think the time has come now for us to, lift the mandates, to lift all the restrictions federally as well. I mean, it was a mistake, I think. Constitutionally, it was a mistake. Against our freedoms, it was a mistake to make federal employees get vaccinated, but they'll figure it out in court and all the lawsuits. When the government has to pay all these lawsuits out, they'll figure it out. And then when the government changes its policy in 3 months from now or 2 months from now, or maybe next week, if he smartens up, then maybe these people will get back to work and maybe they'll get rehired again if they've lost their job, heaven forbid. But if not, the lawsuits will take care of themselves. That's how it happens. Because if he's going to be a smartass about just throwing his powers around, doing whatever he wants in his drunken kind of stupor, his delusion, then he's gonna just pay the consequences. But my big question is, and here's my question for you, I want to wrap it up here. Is he gonna resign? Is he going to face another election? Because the conservatives now have ousted O'Toole and have now elected an interim leader, Candace Bergen, I believe. If I'm saying her name right, Candace Bergen, she's amazing. I think she's from Manitoba. I can't remember where, but somewhere in Manitoba. Amazing, Candace. She's strong. She put the government in their place a couple of days ago, basically saying how it's hypocrisy, what Justin Trudeau says over and over again. He's hiding. He doesn't excuse his own behavior. And then he calls people racist and he calls people all these different names. And it's ridiculous. I mean, for a guy to wear blackface at least 3 times and call people racist when they're not racist, it could only look like you're trying to show that you're not racist to cover up your racism, or it could only show that you're trying to move the target because, hey, don't look at me. I don't know what it is, but I don't know how it's going to end. But here again, my question to you is, email me, fatsoradio@gmail.com. Is he going to resign? Are the conservatives going to call an election? Now's the time to call an election, folks. I thought 6 months ago was the time to call an election, and I thought they would lose and at least a minority, maybe a majority. I was wrong, terribly wrong. They won again in a minority. Ridiculous. But now is the time. Now is the time to get him out of there. I feel like we're going to look back when he's out of power, and even the people that were liberal are going to say, holy shit, I can't believe I voted for him. I voted for him the first time. So I am to blame for getting into power. And many of you are to blame for getting him into power here in Canada. But you're not to blame. I'm not going to point fingers at you. It's not your fault. Even if it is, it doesn't matter. That's politics. We don't know who we're going to vote for. We don't know what the outcome is. I vote for this guy tomorrow. He changes his ways. And then, so you know, he becomes this power crazy guy. And you can't trust him. He's doing scandals and he's covered up. And he's become so corrupt and he's selling his soul to the devil. You don't know that's the same guy you voted for 8 years before. Did that happen? I don't know. Was he always this person? I don't know. Do people change, or does the world just change? Or are they not pulling the strings? Let me know. What do you think? Is there going to be an election? Or is he going to resign? Is there going to be a military issue? Is there going to be some sort of a huge standoff internationally? And I don't know what's going to happen. I hope nothing like that happens, because I hope it's going to be 100% peaceful. But I hope something happens. I hope something big happens as far as some kind of change, some kind of movement happens in power. I don't want it to be some sort of a crazy thing where he's physically ousted and there's a mayhem. I don't want that. I want it to be official. I want it to be democratic. I want there to be a forced election or a referendum or something. Let's use our democratic rights. Let's use the abilities, use the laws that we have, our power, to do something about this. Folks, thanks for watching Fatso Radio. Thanks for listening to Fatso Radio. I love you all. FatsoRadio@gmail.com. Don't forget our sponsor, BopeyMartialArts.com. All right, folks. I love you all. February 4th. Wow. Hope you have a good February. Again, February, March, April. These are my 3 months. I'm going to try and put it on. So I can take it off. You know what I mean? I love you all. My daughter's going to say thanks for listening. And my other daughter's going to sing the theme song, which she probably sang already. I love you all. I appreciate everybody. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Please do. Please share. Please get the word out. I love you all. If you want to be on the show, let me know. I love you all. Peace.
Bye. Let's say bye to everybody. Bye. And we'll say thanks for listening. Say thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Fatso Radio, the really great podcast show.
Fatso Radio, the really great podcast show.
So get your butt and get in your chair.
Don't eat your nails and don't pull your hair.
We'll talk about chicken or talk about steak.
We'll talk about fat, for goodness sake.
Fatso, Fatso, the really great podcast show.
Fatso, Fatso, our very first podcast show.